we're going to, this morning, if everything goes as planned, this will be our last teaching I'm going to do on the subject of being led by the Spirit. I was woke up this morning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord told me a teaching series He wants me to start to do on a subject that people hear about, but really, I haven't heard of much teaching on it. People ain't writing books about it or anything like that. It's a major problem. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me this morning about it, about being one of the major problems in the church world today. On that subject, and everybody's heard about it. I've taught before in the past, but it's about the name of Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord said to go over and teach on that subject, on the name of Jesus. I thought about it this morning. I was laying there in bed when the Lord spoke to me about it, and I was thinking about it. When Mike and I started off, I mean, those were the kinds of teachings that I remember. We used to get together and talk about that stuff, and you know, Kenneth Hagin had his book out, The Name of Jesus. I remember when I had his book, but also E.W. Kenyon's book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, and those things were taught. I think about today, that a lot of people don't really know much about it, don't know much about the subject. But really, it's a foundational teaching. It's foundational teaching. And there's one thing: you're not going to turn on your favorite motivational speaker and hear them talk about this stuff. They're not going to do it. They're just going to motivate you to be a nice guy, you know, just keep sending your checks, keep doing those kind of things, that stuff. Yeah, and one day you'll be blessed. But you know, there's specific information that you and I need to know and walk in if we desire to be blessed. It's one of the things God's been dealing with me lately on the subject of things. He talked to me about a lot of things that I know and understand, and he says, you know, other people don't know it and understand it. He said, people have come into the kingdom and they haven't learned these things. They've never taught them. They were never taught many, many foundational things. People have never been taught. One of the things that amazes me is just looking around at things that they come out with, you know, the latest book that's been written or something. I look at these things. There's no foundational teaching. You know, today it's like they're going around with a sixth grade book, because you can't write them too high today with the church. They have a sixth grade book, but they're handing it to people who are in kindergarten. They don't have any foundation to walk in that knowledge that's in that book, much less hardly the guy that wrote it does. He's heard about the subject, but people need a foundation. They need to understand how things work and how things are. We're teaching on the areas of being led by the Holy Spirit. And as I said when I started this thing, that the Spirit of the Lord told me to call it be led as a command, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as often as He has reminded me over the years of what He told me when I first started off as a Christian, and He said if I didn't learn how to be led by the Spirit, I would amount to nothing as a Christian. How to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. I found out over the years in that stuff, thank God for the leading of the Holy Spirit that kept me out of a lot of messes, kept me out of a lot of trouble, kept me out of a lot of problems and things of going on. Yet at the same time, I looked at things and I watched one of the greatest things of learning to be led by the Spirit, because ever since I've been a Christian and listening to Kenneth Hagin, he talked about the spiritual, the Christian fads and stuff that happen and go on, and all this new, people come along, all this new doctrine and new this, when none of it ain't been new, it's stuff that people brought around before, and after a while it goes away again, and it'll come back again, and it'll recirculate, and people who didn't get it before find out about it. They think something new has come. When I first started off a Christian, I wondered about that. Now, after being a Christian for over 30 years, I have seen in a 10-year period, in each 10-year period, many of the doctrines, the trash doctrines, will come back around again. And this is what amazes me. The same people eat it the second time. And I want to tell you why they do. Is because they are never spiritually grew up. They forgot about it. I've sat with people running and talked to them. Well, that junk was here before. Well, I don't remember that. Well, maybe some. I don't know. They can't remember. People who don't walk in spirituality forget. I know a person that walked in the power of God. I know different miraculous things that have happened to them, but they've gotten away in their areas of life of walking and growing up. And I have talked to them about things that God did in their life, and they can't even remember it. They couldn't remember it anymore. Don't think it won't happen to you. I mean, don't think it won't happen. You get out of spirituality and you can forget all kind of stuff. You can forget all kind of things that God did for you. I've always noticed this over the years. People get in trouble and they start complaining about God. And you sit down and talk to them. Oh, God never did nothing for you. Well, He did this. Well, why'd you forget it? You're acting like He ain't going to do it. Your whole thing that you're going to learn to stand in faith is remember what God did for you. If you ain't got no memory of it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. God, I learned the pattern. The pattern's never changed. Go sit down and read through the Old Testament and see how many times the prophets and ones reminded Israel to go back and remember what God did. Remember what He did. He told the generations to remember what the generations before God did for them. Do you know what God did for the generations before? Well, I don't read about that stuff. I'm only interested in today. Well, then you're going to be probably having a bad tomorrow. You need to find out. I've sat down, I read books about the history of the church, histories of ministries, histories of ministers, the things that they did and what God did for them. It inspires me to believe God. He did that for them. He'll do that for me. There's things that you'll never learn how to believe God for it. You find out how somebody else believed for it, how somebody else did it. You know, you need to get in, you need to find out things, you need to get hungered and thirst for righteousness, the right things. And looking into the past, God's moving in the past. There's one thing, if He opened the Red Sea in the past, if we need the Red Sea open, He will do it today. They were nice little things put in a book to just something neat to read about. There are things that God will do that if we will follow God and do what God says. You know, the children of Israel weren't believing for the Red Sea to be open. When they got in trouble, they were just following and walking what God told them to do, and they came and needed the Red Sea open, it opened. And I just want to say this, if you're not doing the will of God, don't expect a miracle. You won't need a miracle till you do the will of God. That's when you need them. Most people are waiting till God does a miracle, then I'll do something. Well, it ain't going to happen. It doesn't work that way. The children of Israel didn't need the Red Sea open till they left Egypt. They didn't need it open. They didn't need it open till they got down by the thing. They didn't need it open before that. And so you need to understand as to walking in the will of God. And that's why it inspires me. You know, there's lots of things that I've led in people in history. I've learned how to act upon things by looking at what they did. What did they do? How did they act in this situation? What did they do? Hey, I would tell people, say, well, you're just copying. Well, that's the thing to do. You copy somebody that did it right. Would you copy? You know, it's the most amazing things. People go to schools and sit down and they teach you all kinds of things that the teacher never learned or ever figured out themselves. Somebody else learned and did it. And they go around and tell you how to do it and we copy and do it. But when it comes to Christianity, you're not supposed to copy. Well, you copied somebody else's sermon. Well, let me tell you, it's like Brother Hagin said. He said, I got mine out of the Bible. He said, God gave it to me, so he said, it wasn't mine to begin with. I'm going to tell you, if somebody's got a good sermon and I'm inspired to preach it, I don't feel bad at all. If it was a good one, do it. If it's helpful to people, do it. It's everybody trying to come up with their own stuff is why the church is in its mess today. Everybody's coming up with their own ideas, their own ministries, their own junk, their own garbage, and the church is a mess. Hallelujah. You know, and everybody's doing their own thing, and they wonder, why ain't it working? Why ain't things working? You know, well, it won't work. Hallelujah. If you look back over what people have done, and I'll be inspired what God did for others. Don't complain about what God does for others. Well, look what you did for them. You didn't do that for me. Why does God do this for this person and don't do it to me? Well, you just answered my question, you whiner. You just told me why. You complain about God doing it for somebody else. Well, I want to tell you what. When my kids were growing up, if they whined like that, I didn't bless them either. So, you know, we need to, you know, instead of complaining, there's one thing is to ask a question and there's another thing to whine. You say, I don't understand why, by God. Well, find out what that person did. That's what I learned to do. I found out a person started working for him in an area. Find out what they did and be a copycat. Do that. Hallelujah. Be good wisdom. Praise God. Well, this morning, you know, we're going to start into the area being led by the Spirit. Now, we talked about the first two areas of leading the Spirit, which, you know, was the inward witness is the main way God will lead you, is through the inward witness. Also, we talked yesterday about conscience, or it would be an inward voice. There's the inward voice. And you know, God leads you in that area. It's like this morning, when the Spirit of God woke me up this morning, and lots of times I sense things when I wake up like that, and, you know, some people wonder why God speaks in certain ways or certain times. Sometimes you just do certain things where you get quiet at a time. Lots of times God may be trying to talk to you, but we're not necessarily quiet. And what I'm talking about, your mind being so busy. Is one thing, as I know about this, in sleeping, lots of times I'm woken up at night and God will talk to me about things. And He was probably talking to me when I went to bed about it, but I didn't hear it. My mind was still pretty noisy. It can be pretty noisy. And so when I get quiet, so when I get over that place where I'm quiet like that, and I wake up, and lots of times just inside me, I just had the inward witness what I was supposed to teach. I was just an inward witness. Then I had an inward voice then began to talk to me, why teach it? Spoke to me. But it came to me first. I didn't, until I responded to Him about it, He didn't talk to me. See, first I responded to the inward witness. I saw that. I need to teach on that. And then I said something to the Lord about it. And then He began to speak to me on the inside through the inward voice. It wasn't anything loud. It was just such a quiet thing going on inside of me that it would be easy to miss many times if your mind's too noisy. And that's why it's getting over yourself in to get your mind quieted down. That's why worry will always keep you from hearing from God, because worry goes on in your mind. And if worry is going on in your mind, you're not going to hear. Worry gets so loud, you can't hear what's on the inside. And so you want to stay away from that. Now we want to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes God does lead you this way. This is not a way, though, that you're going to find that God does... very often, there's times that dealing with this, and we deal with the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit speaking Himself is sometimes a very more of a prominent voice. I mean, sometimes, I've talked to you about in the past, or sometimes in the past, I literally thought that somebody was standing in the room speaking to me. Sometimes it was that much. I mean, the first time that ever happened to me was the voice of the Lord spoke to me, was back when I was just a young Christian, probably born again, maybe no more than 2 or 3 months, the first time I had it happen. And I've told you guys this story. It was about, a young man had died. He came from a Christian home, but he wasn't saved. He was 19 years old and he died. Went to hell. I mean, And I talked to God about that. I was just in a room. I said, Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to hell and my kids didn't go. And if I wanted to go there. And that's when this voice of the Lord, just clear voice, spoke in the room. Just spoke. And I would have sworn to me, when the voice spoke to me, I could tell you in that room exactly where I was standing. And when that voice spoke, I turned around and looked. I thought somebody was in the room. I turned around and looked. See, somebody was in the room behind me. And, I knew it was God. Then when I looked around, and His voice spoke to me and said, go read the 128th Psalm. And I turned around and looked. There was nobody in the room. And I thought, well, what would it hurt to go look at the 128th Psalm? I was just walking around talking to God in the bedroom. And so I went over to the nightstand. My Bible was laying there. And I picked my Bible up. And at that time, if somebody said how many Psalms there were, I just said, I don't know. I'd read the Bible, but I didn't pay much attention to that kind of stuff. I remember when I was a kid, you went to church, and instead of teaching you the Bible, they taught you like how many verses are in there, and you'd have these little quizzes, or how many verses are in this, or in this chapter, or something. They do these kinds of things. Nobody ever knew a thing about the Bible. We just knew all this other stuff that was meaningless. So I hadn't, to me, I always thought that was so dumb. It's like, who cares? I know people tell you how many books of the Bible and all kinds of things about it. They don't know a thing about God. Who cares? I'd rather know about God and not know how many books are in the Bible. It don't matter to me. But, so I went over and God had looked in the 120th Psalm, and I stood there and I read it. And when I read through it, so the Holy Ghost is watching. He knows. I no sooner finished reading it, He said to me, that same voice said, and very clearly it said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. And I knew it when He said it. This isn't just for Ed Gibson. This is in the Bible. It said about if a man walks in his way. If a man walks in the way of the Lord. In other words, there was guarantees in the Bible about things. Now, you can't do that for everybody. But I can do it concerning my family. But see, these people, I'm sure they didn't know anything about that. You know, this is what happens. People go to funerals and they sit around, talk dumb stuff. They sit there, well, God took the person for a reason, and they say all these kinds of things. You can't have that kind of thinking. And on the other hand, you know, you got to get over and get thinking right about this thing. Well, I got over as a young Christian, and I was just talking to God about it. I said, and you know, I got serious with God. Most people would never pray and say to God, God, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. My family ain't going. You know, you don't say those things to God. I had people one time tell me, well, you don't talk to God like that. I said, boy, you don't know nothing at all. I guarantee you them, they ain't going nowhere. You know, get real with God. God, you know, if you're an idiot, God knows it. You can't hide it from Him. What are you going to talk to God like you're smart when He knows everything? Come on, get real. You know, if something bugs me, I tell God about it. If I don't like something the way it is, I talk to Him about it. I tell Him I don't like the way it is. The Bible says, come and plead your case. Well, if I don't like something, I go plead my case about it. God said, let's come and plead together. I have a right to plead. He should have never wrote it in and put it in the book if He didn't want me to. And I come and I plead case. Many times I've heard from the Lord just on the fact I've told the Lord what I thought about what was going on, and then He talked about His opinion about what went on. Sometimes it just changes my opinion about things. I get to see something a little different. I've had Him already side with me on it. Yeah, you're right. But if you don't learn to talk in these areas, you don't ever learn to be led by the Spirit. There ain't no reason for God to talk to you if you're going to be stupid and religious. There's no reason for Him to answer you. And so you got to learn to talk to God about things. And, you know, God knows that just like a child, you know, we shouldn't look at a little kid as being somebody that he's wanting to learn and asking questions that don't understand things. We wouldn't put them down for it because they don't get it. And, you know, it's just saying, you need to understand spiritually, we're like little kids compared to God. He ain't sitting around to knock us on the head. Man, sometimes I don't know stuff. I just ask Him right out about it. I don't sit around and come up with these and thous and all kinds of stuff and try to. I just tell God, I don't get that one. Boy, that's, you know, this seems crazy to me. This don't make any sense. And sometimes you aren't going to find the answer in any questions till you turn around and tell Him how you view it. Now, God knows how you view it, but the Bible's clear on the subject. You got to ask. I don't care what God knows about you. He won't tell you nothing that you don't ask Him about. You got to ask Him about stuff. You need to know stuff. So being led by the Spirit, God spoke to me in an audible way. One of the things I believe, you know, especially He spoke to me in a very audible way. I don't think it was because I was so spiritual or anything like that. People say, well, why did God do it? Well, I think sometimes God does some things in a very supernatural way is because sometimes we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. And it's not from intentional. We need to be careful about the things because sometimes people get over in the intentional side and ain't paying no attention to God and they say, well, why didn't God say anything to me? Well, it's another thing to being going to miss something because you don't understand what's going on or knowing about what is going on, then turn around being spiritually lazy. See, many people want to have supernatural manifestations, but they are spiritually lazy. Many things I learned as a young Christian, I learned through supernatural experiences with God, but I learned them because I was seeking God, not because I was just generally being lazy. Oh, I didn't really seek God myself. I just let some ministers, I just kept listening to all they teach and everything else, and I didn't really do stuff myself. See, many people are in that category today. They're spiritually lazy. Now, they don't see themselves that way. They'll say, well, my words, I watch, you know, a good 20 hours of Christian television every week and I listen to me. That's spiritually lazy. Always trying to feed off of somebody else. It's good to feed off of others, but you must yourself seek God. And I found that out as a young Christian. I would seek God because I just, on my things of learning. Now, understand, but if we're talking about these ways that are seen to be a little more supernatural, I have never sought God to hear an audible voice. I've never asked Him to let me hear me. I want to hear you in that way. I've always, concerning manifestations, if God seems to move a certain way, He can. Now, it does help to believe in it. Most of the church, I will guarantee you, I could sit down and talk experiences. If I took the majority of the body of Christ would hear the experiences I've had in my Christian walk, most of them would say, it's the devil. Because most of the church talks about a supernatural God, but he's only on the pages of the book. It's not in manifestation. If it's in manifestation, if it actually happens, you know, people today, I always think about the things, because one of the way the Lord leads us sometimes, and he can through an angel. An angel can appear, sometimes appear in the natural, or could appear in a dream. I've seen angels in dreams. I've seen angels in dreams. But on the other side, we need to know. I've seen angels from a vision standpoint. I have seen these things, but we don't sit around. I don't sit around and look and say, "Well, God, I need to see an angel." See, I get over people seeing angels. I understand the devil can appear as an angel. That's why you don't go around. The Bible doesn't teach us to seek any certain manifestations like that. The Bible tells us the manifestations we're supposed to be looking for, and they're the manifestations in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Those are the ones that we should be after. Not to see angels. I've never sought to see an angel. And people that do get weird. People that want to see angels get weird, because what happens, the manifestation becomes more important than spirituality. I know a man, and I'm going to tell you, Jesus appeared to him. And he really did. Appeared to him as a younger Christian. Appeared to him. And God basically don't walk with God today. See, you ain't going to walk with God because something appeared to you or you had a supernatural manifestation. You'll walk with God because you grow up spiritually. Because you develop spiritually, you walk with God. It's knowing God, not knowing visions and dreams. Now these things happen. They can be beneficial because in these things we can receive revelations from God. We can get understanding on some stuff. It's just like the Lord gave me a revelation through an audible voice. He spoke to me, but He led me to the Scripture. And this is one thing. God will always lead you in line with the Word. Will always lead you in line with the Word. Always. Always. That's how you judge it. If we're supposed to judge the spirits, which the Bible tells us to, we're supposed to judge the spirits, how do we judge them? Against the Word of God. What measure do you have to judge it as God? Because you enjoyed it, you liked it, or something supernatural happened? Man, I can take you to people and get supernatural stuff to happen, and it's the devil. You know, people doing all kinds of stuff. Demonic things there. People with blood running out of their hands and stuff. And Christians, oh, this is something. Ain't nobody else's blood counts for any but Jesus. I read it in the Bible. So how many people ever had blood show up on their hands? I know where that came from. The devil. I know where that's from. I know it. My hands bleeding will do nothing for you. It won't do anything. And understand this, supernatural manifestations are not for show. God doesn't show off. If God would have shown off, then why didn't He have, you know, Jesus, when Jesus came down, why didn't Jesus walk around and just, turn all the trees upside down or do something just to get people's attention? You know, He didn't do that. Jesus came down and Jesus walked this earth just like all men have to. He taught people the Word, teaching people to believe God by the Word. He didn't teach people to believe God by signs and wonders. He didn't do that. See, we need to walk in the same way. So when I'm talking about these areas, how God can lead you in these ways, these are not things that we search for or we seek for, but you need to understand that they can happen. And if they do happen, you must judge them by the Word. I know about supernatural manifestations. I mean, I was involved over in sorceries. Demons would manifest and that kind of stuff. I'd sit in my house. We had this one demonic spirit would show up. I'd get home at night from work and that stuff. And this is when I was unsaved and that stuff. This spirit would come into the house when I'd come home. I would sit down and this spirit, I could tell. That spirit would be in the room. I could tell when it would come up near or close to me. I could tell it, that spirit. Most Christians, they had anything like that. Well, my words, it's God. It's God around. One thing it had this aroma, and all I could say, it smelled like a lilac perfume. And they would smell that. Well, I remember one night, and we had a party at our place, and some people were there. And some people asked about smelling this lilac perfume. They asked, "What is that?" I didn't tell them what was going on. It has scared them to death. But I knew that spirit would show up. See, but that was a demonic spirit. See, that spirit manifested and did things and stuff, but it was of no benefit to me. Smelling lilac perfume won't do a thing for you. It won't heal you. It won't do anything like that. God ain't doing crazy things and stuff like that just for show. God is not a God of show. What God does or manifests Himself is to bless people. That's what He does in the earth. This is why Satan will already is and will, and the Bible tells us there's many followers of Jesus Christ that are going to be deceived in the last days because they're going to follow demonic spirits because of signs and wonders. I mean, people are already doing it on this gold and gold flake stuff and these crazy people following this stuff. What's this point of gold flake anyhow? This gold flake shows up, it's worthless, nobody gets any money out of it because it ain't gold flake. They've had this stuff checked out, it ain't gold. And this stuff shows up and they talk about it. What does it do any good to have your fillings turned into gold? I need money in my pocket. What good does it do to turn my fillings into gold? Why? What a benefit that is that to me? What a benefit would that be? My teeth were already okay with the other filling. Let them alone. But see, the devil comes along and does things and people fall for it. They just jump in it, hook, line, and sinker, because it is supernatural and they are just, and Christians, ignorant of the Word, don't check things out in the Word. Understand, we don't see Jesus do any manifestations like that. I stick with what Jesus did. If we needed something better, He'd have showed us. The signs of our time, the church is totally 100% almost ignorant of it. They don't have a clue about it. They don't know what's going on. Many things that God said that He would do we're having in this age and the church don't even know it. The church don't even know the signs. They don't know the signs of the time. They don't know the signs of His coming. They don't recognize the things. Yet the Bible's clear on things, but we want to follow. Everybody is looking for something spectacular to happen. And many times we miss, you know, Kenneth Hagin Jr. used to always say people looking for the spectacular usually miss the supernatural. There's many supernatural things going on, but people don't see them. You know, of anything in this earth, if Jesus' emphasis to the world was healing, then that's what we ought to be doing today. Society ain't changed. We're probably in a sicker society today than He was. Do you think what He'd be doing around turning people's teeth, you know, fillings to gold, that He'd be doing? You know, if a guy had bad teeth and they ended up filled, now you got something. But, you know, taking a filling and turning it into gold, I mean, that's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. That's the devil. And so we need to understand these things. As God's doing supernatural things, God would be healing. God wants to bring the healing ministry back into emphasis. Not all this other junk just to be spectacular. Who cares? Who cares? You know, the sick want to be well. You know, doing all kind of somebody walking around and their hands bleeding. What does that do for anybody? All it does is draw attention to that individual. It don't draw attention to Jesus. The blood that I'm interested in is already in the holies of holies of heaven on the mercy seat. That's the only blood Ed is interested in. Ed's blood does nothing. And nobody else's does nothing. So we don't seek the supernatural. We're after God. We want to know God. You know, sometimes, and really, understand this, demonic powers can know voice, can know you, and they could speak out to you in an audible way too. I want you to understand that. They can. They can do the same kinds of things. That ain't no biggie. Do you ever read the story about Moses and God sent him to set the children of Israel free? And what did the sorcerers do there? The first number of miracles, they copied them. They did what he did. So don't think the devil. Now you get over into things that you're going to find. You're going to step into things what the devil can't do. The church world is not grown up enough today to do those. Because if anybody will swallow the bit of what the sorcerers would do, you're not going to very well be in a place or position to walk in the stuff that we need to walk in. And this is why the church needs to grow up. We need to come over to the simplicity of the gospel and quit seeking after new revelation of something and a new this and a new that. Man, if you can't walk in the old, who needs a new? You know, if you can't drive an old car, don't buy a new one. You won't be able to drive that one either. You know, people get this idea, well, if we just, you know, we have to have something new and we need a new revelation and I don't need a new revelation. The old revelation that I got on healing that started back in 19, back in when I got saved back in 1980, that revelation is still working today. I didn't need a new one since. And I've read all these people's stuff. I've read loads of people's stuff over the years of their new revelation. And I sit down, look at it and say, what a bunch of idiots. They complicate the thing. They do all kinds of dumb stuff, writing books about you got to go to the doctor to find out whatever your sickness is so you can have, you know, a name to give it. And then you can do, yeah, good. Now you got a name for it and you keep walking around calling that name over yourself and you can't get rid of your sickness. Bunch of morons and idiots. They turn around and take all the stuff of naturalists. It's natural carnal people doing dumb stuff. If you read the book, the Bible tells me, I read it, and it, Jesus Christ said, if I say on this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, He didn't say, you know, you go find the name of the mountain. And when you find the name of that mountain, you'll know what to call it. And yet, He never said that. He said, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. He told me to believe that I to speak that I would believe I received something, not that I had to go and believe I received the name of something, of a sickness or something. I'm serious. You got books or any that kind, you listen to people like that, either turn them off and throw their books out because they're hindering you. They'll hinder your faith. Because it's the teachings of men. It's not the teachings of God. They're the psychology of men. They're trying to use things that deal with the areas of soul, the soulish realm, trying to deal with spiritual things. You ain't going to deal. You ain't going to deal with this. You want to change things in the spirit. You got to get your soul in line with the things of the spirit. You got to get your soul in line so it's operating in the things of the spirit rather than the soulish area. The soulish area is dominated by Satan. He's the god of this world system. He's the god of this world. In this soulish realm, this is our battle, trying to stand off from that stuff and get our mind filled right with what God's doing. But the church is trying to integrate the two. They're trying to integrate them. What happened to the city of faith? Ah, we're going to take medicine and we're going to take divine healing. We're going to stick it together. And the doors were closed. I don't care if a man says God said. They weaken faith in God that God can't heal without men. God ain't against doctors, but you ain't going to make God a man. You rob the supernatural. They named that place the City of Faith, and Kenneth Hagin made this statement. And this is when they were first building the place. Most people, a lot of people never heard this, but he said it to us in Bible school one day. He said, anybody that calls anything a city, he said, is going to go under. He said, the church is only looking for one city. And that's the city above. See, I don't care if it's an 80-foot Jesus appears to you. It don't matter. He can be, you know, I don't care if it's 973 feet. He better be in line with the Word. Because if he ain't, Ed's calling him down. You need to understand, I had no plan teaching on this stuff. This, you know, I just got over here and I had been meditating on some stuff. But see, if we're going to operate, because see, you get over into some of these areas being led by the Spirit, come over into some supernatural areas, like with dreams. It's one of the things in the book of Acts talks to us about dreams and that stuff. One of the things dealing, and let's just read that from a scriptural standpoint. For Peter talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he made this statement in the second chapter, in verse 17. And he made reference to Joel. He told him before that these guys weren't drunk with wine, but he said, verse 16 I'll start, he says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He said, it shall come to pass the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, telling us what would happen those days. So we see this, that visions and dreams are one of the things of a manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We also with prophecy. See, things we should expect. We should expect people in the church world should have visions and dreams. There's one thing about it. There's way too little of this stuff going on. And the reason it is because generally we don't believe in its existence, or it should. See, one of the things, I don't seek after God to reveal Himself in any certain way, but I sure do believe He will use ways like this. I believe He will for me. I believe God will do it. I believe He will work in this way. See, most people are waiting to hear somebody else's story about it. But see, I haven't figured out where I fit in here. I was 30 years old when I accepted Christ, and I started off, when I first started, I had visions and dreams. So I couldn't figure out, I was young or old. I didn't know. I've been mixed up on that one ever since. Because they both still happen to me. I have visions and I have dreams. They'll both still happen to me. I haven't figured it out yet where I fit in the category. I thought by now I'd be just dreaming. Maybe, you know, Randall Greer says he believes the old man dream. He says, because you take grandpa, he can never stay awake. So God can't talk to him in a vision. He has to give him a dream. He just threw that out there. That was, he always laughs when he says that, but I think that's pretty good. But you know, I've never quite understood because God's manifested in those ways. Now, I understand this. I don't have visions all the time, and I don't have dreams all the time. Most of the time, God just talks to me, and most of the time, just inward witness comes to me about something. Sometimes the inward voice. Every once in a while, I mean, a voice will speak. I'll hear a voice say something. And usually that startles me because I'm not walking around thinking about, you know, I'm usually looking at God's going to say something. He's going to say something on the inside. Sometimes He speaks outwardly. That happens. But there are very few and far between that He's done that. But He's also used that same type of thing to rebuke me. He spoke to me in an audible voice to rebuke me. And He was right about rebuking me for what I did. I was in disobedience. You know? Some people won't listen to anything, and anybody ever spoke to them to rebuke them on something that they're doing. You don't ever listen to rebuke. God probably won't rebuke you. You don't listen to rebuke around you. He probably won't talk to you about it. You know, sometime, I don't know about you, sometime I need rebuked. It does me good to get rebuked. There's some things that I just sort of get in a direction of going sometimes, and on the inside I get a sense I shouldn't be heading in that direction, but I'll just fool around with it for a while. And sometimes I just need rebuked on it. Because I know what to do. And so the same with you. You need rebuke sometimes. And if you only know God's going to always just speak little nice sweet words from heaven, and it's always going to be just cute little things to make you feel like, to fluff you all up and make you just something wonderful, you ain't going to ever know God. God rebukes. He chastens the ones He loves. This is why the Satan gets followed so easily, because Satan knows how most people are. They'll hear voices that come and say to them how sweet you are all the time, and you're the next best thing to sliced bread, and you're just so wonderful. And you know, God just loves you so much. You're just so special. Man, God loves you because I'm special. No, you aren't. You're just like everybody else. He loves us. We're His offspring. But you ain't no special than anybody else. If there's any good in it, it's because God did it, dear Lord. I know Ed from before, and I know Ed after God. And these, you know, you follow, see, this psychology has gotten into the church world today, and this is what's in the church world, and they're teaching. You're just wonderful, you're all this, and you're special, and all that stuff. And that's why nobody grows up. Because God's looking down there and saying, that big baby, I'd like to slap him once in a while. But he won't listen to it. He loves, just listens to how wonderful he is all the time. Always hearing how special, and I just never lose. God loves me all the time, and I'm just so wonderful, and this is what we got in the church world. It's a lot of TV preaching. That's what we got. Just all this. I'm just so special. I'm so special. I can just keep living like hell all the time and not follow God. Just go along. And I'm a nice person. And this is what we got today. And there's nobody getting corrected. And you know, God uses things to correct Ed. I've had supernatural manifestations to correct me. Well, sometimes I'm thick. I don't know. Maybe all of you are just so smart and wonderful. You just listen every time, you know, something's said, and you just, hear my Lord, send me. Sometimes Ed almost needs a lightning bolt. He needs God to say, Ed, wake up, you space cadet. What do you think you're doing? Now, I've never had God rebuke me or do anything because he didn't love me. It was always to set me in a path so I'd be blessed. That's how it always was. And I've grown up to the fact, if he rebukes me on something anymore, I don't act like I don't go whining about it. I mean, dear Lord, I should have obeyed to begin with. I wouldn't be where I'm at. Hallelujah. He's just getting a hold of me. But my confession has always been this. God will do anything to keep Ed on track. I always said if the Lord has to send somebody from another country to come and talk to Ed to straighten him out, it'll happen. God needs to send an angel. If Jesus needs to appear, he will appear to straighten Ed out to get Ed back on track. See, I'm willing to let God rebuke me. Are you? Can he rebuke you through somebody else? Oh. He'll usually do it through somebody you don't like. Who you don't want to listen to because, you know, it has to come through the right person. If it don't come through the right person, there's people in hell today because they wouldn't listen to the vessel God sent them the message to, and they're in hell. God doesn't encourage our pride. If anything we need is to be humbled. Ed, don't need it. You know, don't do things to give Ed a big head. Don't do things because that's the last thing Ed needs is a big head. And it's the last thing you need. It's the last thing you need. You know, if I preach or I do anything that's good, it ain't because I'm wonderful. It must be God. I just settled it to that fact. But the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we should expect supernatural manifestations. Supernatural manifestations we should expect. God moves in these ways. God speaks through prophecy. Through prophecy, God speaks to us many times. Mike talked about because God had me speak to Mike on the area of dealing with patients because, you know, what Mike was doing wasn't easy. You know, when you have a hugely small percentage of people that ever try to go do what Mike did, ever succeed at it, it's a hugely incredible thing. This ain't like graduating from high school that any dummy today can go ahead through whether you know anything or not. The colleges today that you can go through, you know, to get a college degree, you know, in itself doesn't show much today because all the idiots they give degrees to don't know nothing. The guy who did learn something, you got to check out to see if he did. It's all worthless and meaningless. Well, so far they got a group over here and they're doing something and the idiots still haven't got in there yet, but give them time. They'll figure out a way to turn it into nothing. You know, you let the devil's people do it. That's what they'll do. We want everybody to be a winner. Losers aren't supposed to be winners. Winners are winners. People who earn the score. People who have gone for it. The rest of them don't get a ribbon. They don't get a trophy. You better learn it. God ain't giving trophies. You get to heaven, you ain't going to get reward you didn't earn. There won't be a ceremony for you for what you didn't do. Woo! Glory. That's good preaching anyhow. That's a little rebuke. People need to know that. Heaven ain't like America. You ain't got a vote up there. Thank God, it'd be an ugly, evil place if you got one. Hallelujah. Perfection would have been gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God will listen to Ed's opinion, but it don't mean he's going to agree with any of it. And you need to understand that about yourself. That's why the Bible says you don't think so highly of yourself. You know, I've came up with bright ideas, but any bright idea I've ever come up with, I realize it came from the wisdom of God. God was involved with it. Hallelujah. Something came out of me that wasn't floating between my ears at all. Hallelujah. Praise God. But God will manifest Himself. Now, I'm not going to throw all the things in Scripture. You know, God speaks by a voice. You know, we have Samuel, where God spoke to him with an audible voice. Samuel heard God. He thought it was Eli talking. But it was the voice of the Lord speaking to him, called his name. You know, sometimes we need to learn in that area. Have you ever, all of a sudden, heard nobody around? You heard your name called. Do you ever have that happen to you? Most people ignore it, think, well, something weird happened. Most people let that go. Most people don't try to find out if God's talking to them. God, are you saying something to me? We don't do that. See, I've learned over time, you know, I've been laying in bed sleeping. All of a sudden, awakened by hearing my voice called. My name was called and I woke up. You know, years before, I mean, I didn't pay much attention. I thought, what on earth is this? What is going on? Well, I read the Bible, you know, a little bit and found out there was Samuel. He was trying to get to sleep too. And God kept waking him up. But you know what? God never spoke to him other than his name till he responded to God. You need to understand this. God expects response out of you. He's not just going to overtake you and do it and show it to you if you don't respond to him. Find out. Say, God, are you trying to... I'm damn busy. God, what's going on? Sometimes I just wake up out of a... I'll be sleeping, right? Deep sleeping, just instantly wake up. I wake up just like, man, I've been out of bed for hours. I'll be just wide awake. Wake up. And I've learned over time, say, Lord, what's going on? What's up? Because it ain't natural for me to just instantaneously, you know, say, what's going on? See, stuff can go on the inside of you that'll shake the body around and wake it up. See, most people don't say, boy, I woke up and I just couldn't get back to sleep. Well, you weren't supposed to. You were supposed to ask God what he was doing, trying to find out if God's trying to talk to you about something. But see, many times we ignore the supernatural and we keep saying we wanted it to happen, but yet we ignore it. Don't ignore it. When those things happen, find out. Now, I want you to understand this. The devil could wake you up. You could find that out too. But you need to understand this. If something happened like that, I've had numbers of times when my voice was called, my name was called. I had a voice call my name. I've had that happen numbers of times. Sometimes just wander. Ed, you idiot, shut up. You know. There's a voice, you know. But you know, many times though I've had it. I've been woken up by that. Let me just tell you a little bit of story. An angel wanted to appear to Kenneth Hagin. I really appreciate hearing the story because he talked about the fact that an angel, he had been holding some meetings and he was in a room. They had this big travel trailer for some years that they pulled that when they traveled on the road, and he said he was laying down in the bed in the bedroom, and he said he was laying in the bed meditating on some things and that stuff, and he had a sense that somebody came in opened the trailer door, came in the thing and come back the hallway to the room, and he said he had a sense in his spirit somebody, and he said but there was somebody at the end of the bed. He had a sense of that, but he didn't do nothing about it. He just went on, nothing happened, and he went back over. Now understand, he's being spiritual. He's praying and meditating. Now he's being spiritual. See, this is why we can get over doing our thing. We don't pay any attention around. We never stop and ask. So he went back over at it again, and he got this sense again that something came down the hallway and came down the bedroom, and he just opened his eyes and nothing, and he went back over praying. Well, it was sometime later. It was like a year or so later. He had gone through some things that were a little difficult for him dealing with it. And so Jesus appeared to him in one of his visions he had, and Jesus appeared to him, and he had asked the Lord about this thing and he had gone through, and the Lord said, I sent my angel to try to talk to you, but you wouldn't listen to him. He said, what are you talking about? Well, he said, he came back, came down your room, but he said, you kept trying to respond to it, looking in the natural. You didn't look in your spirit. He said, I sent him there to talk to you. See, you have to learn to respond to things. See, He sent somebody, something walked up to him, but he didn't respond to it. He just in the natural, well, I can't see nothing, so it must not be anything there. And it just... Many times people sense things around them and they don't do a thing about it. We just, you know, sense things and ignore stuff. Sometimes it could be demonic or whatever. It could be around. I've got over many times I can sense demonic spirits. And I'll sense, you know, sometimes I get around certain people and I can sense demonic spirits in an operation. You get over them, you can sense things working. But in the natural, there, so an angel didn't just appear. He said, I had sent out an angel. He said, if you'd have responded to him, he'd have really revealed himself to you. So that angel was supposed to give him the information. He wouldn't have had to go through the trouble he did. So God tried to supernaturally reveal himself, but he didn't respond to it. So understand, when we deal with the areas of the supernatural, when we're dealing with supernatural manifestations, when we're dealing with that, you have to respond to them. They don't necessarily just happen. Sometimes they do. But you know, I found this out. Most of the time, the supernatural manifestations that I've had were in response to what I was seeking God for, or things I had specifically asked God about, or get information about things, or things I was specifically, maybe we were dealing with certain things, and maybe we had prayed about it or something or other, and things were going on. Very seldom, just out of the clear blue, out of me doing nothing or seeking God, and all of a sudden God just show up. See, most people have this idea that, well, you just sort of don't do things and then this stuff just happens in between there if God wants it to. No, you'll set an atmosphere in your life. You'll set the atmosphere if God's going to manifest Himself. You'll have to set an atmosphere for it. You know, you can't. You have this belief, well, if God wants me to do something with that, He'll tell me. Well, forget it. He ain't going to talk to you about it. You ain't going to hear about it, so forget it. If God wants to, you know, I can't expect God to do supernaturally to inform Ed if he gets out of line if Ed ain't ever seeking God. See, people, I don't know how the church world gets into this idea. We read about them happening in the book, but, you know, it's because God's doing certain things and people are in line or doing with whatever it is that God's doing. You know, if we sit down there, Peter, he went up on the rooftop to pray and seek God, and he did, and he had a vision where a sheet was dropped down. He got a revelation. You know, and he got a revelation, and which ended up turning around the Gentiles to be saved. But he wasn't, you know, out there. He wasn't surfing on the beach. They're not saying you couldn't do that. But in other words, he was seeking God. If Peter would never sought God, God wanted to talk to him. It doesn't matter, you couldn't go surfing. But you need to understand, I've had God speak to me in some of the weirdest situations. But it had been because I had been setting an atmosphere to hear Him. And I found this out in my Christian walk. The least that I set myself in a spiritual position to hear things or to have things happen like that, the least it happens. But the more I set myself under, I've been talking to God about some things, and I just thought about this morning. He woke me up at 4:00 in the morning, and when I thought about it afterwards, well, it don't surprise me at all. Things I've been after, you know, and talking to Him about, straightening some things out with my life, dealing with some stuff, and wow, He talked to me. It didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me of what he did is to do that is because of moving myself in line. See, the church is to be supernatural. He said He's going to pour out His Spirit on sons and daughters. They're going to have dreams and vision. He didn't say, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all the ministers. You know, to me, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd still expect God to manifest Himself like He does. I still expect Him to. See, most people, they don't expect it at all. You know, let the preacher find out what God's doing and come and tell me. I'll just make sure I get there on Sunday and hear what God's doing. I'm sorry. Hey, then all you get is what Ed gets. And you can sit and marvel at what God does with Ed. You know, I used to sit and marvel at what God did through Kenneth Hagin. But I'd made this decision. He'd sit and tell these stories and I'd think, dear Lord. And I start, God, I want You to move me like that. I want You to do. Well, I found out He started when I started getting in line. I thought, what does Kenneth Hagin do? He seeks God. He's in the Word. He's after God. He puts the Word of God first in his life. He turns around. He wants to do the will of God. And that's what he's after. He's not after the popularity of people. You know, Kenneth Hagin didn't go hang out and have 27 friends that were carnal and hang out with them all the time talking trash and junk. He followed God. When his loads of his fans, family and friends didn't want to have nothing to do with God, he didn't make them the number one hangout people because they're his family. He went after God, followed after God, and that's what changed most of their lives. That's why most people don't, if you want to change your relatives' lives, live for God. Quit living for your relatives. Live for God. That'll change their life. Brother Hagin, that's what changed their life. But God manifesting Himself through him changed him over and over again. He's got revelations. I've gotten revelations through because of the manifestations of the Spirit. God manifested in a certain way and I got a revelation about things. I learned things about how demon spirits and operation and dealing with demons. I learned through dreams I had. I learned things about demons and their operation through dreams I had. The things that Kenneth Hagin taught, I understood. But in the dreams, I saw some things of how that really worked. Things you could do. Well, there was revelations came, but it wasn't because I was never reading about dealing. What am I supposed to do with demons? I had to find out in the Word about it. There's no use God giving revelations to people who ain't looking in the Word to find out. See, most people want, I want to get a revelation. I ain't going to do it. I ain't studying the book about this stuff. I just want, you know, Copeland, you read about prosperity and tell me. You tell me what you know about prosperity and I'll just come and I'll just sit down. No, you need a personal revelation. You need God to reveal things to you because there's things you need to change in your life that Copeland didn't have to change or didn't need to do, but you do. And you'll never know about him only listening to him. You can find out all the facts and figures about the Bible, but in the Bible ain't written everything about your personality and what you're doing. You're going to have to deal with you, and you're going to have to let God deal with you to show you things so you can deal with it and get in line. You know, there's people out here of all kinds. There's loads of different problems. You get people who have what seems the same, looks like they have the same problem in the area. They don't. There's different, you know, things. One thing isn't working. It is a big thing. I found the church world would do this concerning faith, and why I believe the church got away from faith. It's because I heard this for years. Every time somebody didn't get something, they'd say, well, you just need to believe God. You know, you just need to trust the Lord. You're just not believing. And it wasn't a problem, the person did believe what the Bible says, but they had other problems. And they just keep telling everybody, well, you just need to, well, I'm believing the Word, this ain't working. Well, if your finances were, you just need to give more. Well, if you turn around and give more and it still ain't working, I watch people do that. If I'm turning around and tithing and never got a blessing from it, I never got anything extra special ever happened to me just from the years of tithing, what's the point of giving any more? But see, this is the crazy ideas. Most people, that ain't their problems. It's like one minister said. He said, the problem in the church today ain't believing God for healing. He says it's their dirty lives. See, but people don't look at many things that we can get in our lives. We think we're all right and we're nice and we're living a dirty life compared to what God said. But we have to deal with those things if we want stuff to work. If we desire for things to work. Another thing, you know, just having money is not a sign, any kind of sign of spirituality. There's all kind of rich people out here today making money. And they sure ain't following God for 2 seconds. So we don't hold those things up as being. You'll find out real quick about people concerning the areas of healing and things like that. About people, you know, you got to get over those things. You got to walk, you know, because you live in a world. You can be hooked and tied into money and do the right things and make money in the natural. You can make money. You know, today you can go and get a job in a place and make money because everybody there, even the lazy workers, get good money. So that isn't God blessing you. That's the stupidity of men. There's loads of people who are wealthy today because of the stupidity of men. But there's one thing to walk in the blessing of God. You let our economy collapse and we're going to find out who got faith and who don't. We'll find out. Find out in 2 seconds. Who's been trusting what? Because it all shows up. When trouble comes, it all shows up. It's just like I learned this. You find out where you stand in faith when sickness comes. You never find out where you stand in faith when you're well. You'll find out when sickness comes where you stand. You're going to find out in short order if your big faith and call things that be not as though they were. Instead of saying, I just don't understand how this happened to me. I just don't understand. You find out. See, a lot of people, they go, I got faith. Yeah, they got faith till trouble comes. It's like anything, any kind of knowledge that you have, when no problem's going on, you ain't using that information. You find out when the pressure comes, you find out. A mechanic finds out when he gets a car that's broken down. He finds out what he knows. He wouldn't know. You can sit and read the books, but you're really going to find out what you know under pressure. Because that's when you need to know it. It doesn't matter. Being able to get the information, do what you need to do when the problem is there, that's the most important. That's the most important time. Our society doesn't run like it. Our society lets everything go till the problem comes, and now let's learn about this. I just need to get the healing tapes out now, and I need to start a list. I need to get, Pastor, do you got any good books on healing? Say, what's wrong? You sick? How many of them are you reading beforehand? Why? You're going to stay sick a while till you get it in you and get it going. You ain't going to just read the book and get it, you know, jump on it. Now, there's plenty of things come along. I'll get a book out and read it, but I get there just to edify myself, to keep myself on track. I'm not trying to, well, now I got to get into faith. You know? It's like the guy, you know, the car breaks down and takes it to the mechanic, and the mechanic goes, man, I'll tell you what, I should have had, he's got a transmission problem. I should have went to that class on transmissions, you know. I got some good books, maybe we'll read those. You know, the guy might want his car back within, you know, a week or so. He ain't got time for you to sit and read the book. You might read the book, but he ain't going to have his car for 3 months. Well, see, it's the same way in the area of the Word of God to get it to work. Many times, wow, I don't understand why this thing don't change. Wow, you're still trying to develop in faith over it. See what I mean? See, that's why we got to get over and get right. That's why you got to follow God. See, I found out many times going after God, following God, I had supernatural manifestations that took place during things, and it wasn't because I didn't know things. It wasn't because I wasn't following God. Many of them happened times because I was following God. See, do you recognize when God's working? You know, I tell the story about, you know, years back when a young girl fell off her bike in her alley and back and hit head first on the blacktop. Just nailed, man, just knocked her out cold. She was just laying there, a big thing on her head and that stuff. Her sister was with her. But it's your reaction to what's going on. I mean, I heard the thing fall. I started heading out the alley. There's one thing as I learned. Anybody who panics is worthless. I don't care if they're a Christian. They're worthless. Most Christians go through their little panic and go through all their natural mode. And then after the person's hauled off to the hospital and they find out everything's, whether it's good or bad, then we're going to start a prayer meeting. Well, you're really running behind the eight ball. You're behind on this thing way far. It's things that I learned to do. It's number one, you have an emergency situation. The last thing you need is somebody there panicking. It's the last thing you need is somebody, oh my God, you're going to die. You're going to die. Just take them out and shoot them. Just take them out back, shoot them. Now we can get a job done here. Now we can get something going here. But you get people that get into a panic. Everybody's talking about what they ought to do. So one thing is I've learned to do over the years, and I've learned to do it. First thing is I do is I look to the inside. God has something He wants to do. I have never been in one emergency situation in my entire Christian walk where God has not given me a revelation of something to do. Never one time. Never one time. You got to look on it, and you can't be running your mouth doing 100,000 different things in the natural and hear that. You got to learn to stop that. You got to learn to quit. Get into the panic. Get into talking about all the other stuff. Leave it alone. Now that girl fell out there. I knew what would happen. It was behind a hedge we had. I heard her fall. I did not even run out there to see what went on. I didn't run. I walked out through the yard. I walked. I was sitting on a lawn chair. I got off my lawn chair and walked out through. Why? I wanted to hear from God. I heard this one little girl crying, and she didn't know what to do. Her sister's knocked out. She don't need me running out there going into panic. And you know, when I started walking out through that yard, I just started walking there looking on the inside. The anointing of God came on me, and there was a peace that passed all understanding fell upon me. If I'd have ran out there and acted like an idiot, I'm going to tell you it would never happen. I know it would never happen. See, you've got to set an atmosphere for God to move. And I walked out there, and I started walking, and that peace fell over me. And I'll never forget, it was like, my God, this is the weirdest thing. I walked out there just so calmly. I looked at the little girl, and they lived down in the next block down from us. I just walked and said real calm to her, you go get your mom and dad. I mean, I had no panic in me at all, nothing. But see, I didn't start off panicking. I looked on the inside. And she took off down the alley. Number one, was a good thing to do. Get somebody out of there. Somebody is in there panicking. You're in a hospital and you get one of these relatives come in as an idiot talking all their dumb stuff about their cousin who died from this. Throw them out of your room. Have some sense in your, I don't care if it's your mama, you throw the idiot out of the room. Do you want to die or have something worse happen to you because idiots? See, people don't know. You stop God from moving. Set an atmosphere in that room of fear and anxiety and worry. And I'm trying to believe God for healing. Well, get rid of the idiots. If people can't come and act right, who call themselves Christians, I can understand the heathen don't act right. But these too many people, Christians, come in and they don't act right. Get rid of them out of this stuff. Say, hey, hold it. Put the brakes on. And they come and people start setting an atmosphere. And I learned, the young little girl, you know, she's just in terror. Her sister's laying there. You know, God's smart. Get her, mom. Run down the road, her mom. All I did, I went just down, put my hand on that girl's head laying on the ground, just started praying in other tongues. That just came to me. I just started praying in other tongues. And I just praying in other tongues. Maybe, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 seconds. I don't know, somewhere around there. And all of a sudden her eyes just popped open. This big thing in her head, there was about a size about that big there. It was just a red, little red spot like a brush burn. That's all was left on her head. She woke up. I said, are you okay? Her parents are coming up the alley then. You know, and her parents are coming up the alley. I said, you all right? Yeah. I said, how's your head? She said, oh, it's fine. She said, I said, you have a headache? No, I don't have a headache. I'm fine. She stood up, got her bag back up. Parents came up through there and said, she's all right. She's fine. And they went on down the road. But see, you got to learn to set atmospheres. Most Christians do this. They let the devil set the atmosphere, then they try to control. They try to make, you set the atmosphere. Jesus set the atmosphere. There's people he didn't take with him to places. Even disciples. You ain't going in the room on this one. There's Christians I would never take 10 steps with me in a serious thing. Yet I think they're very nice people, they're good people and this and that. But I know this, when you're in big trouble, you don't want to have them around. I know that. You got to know that stuff. You got to understand if you're one of the people nobody wants around. You got to learn that. Well, if you don't, you'll set an atmosphere around you. You're setting atmosphere around you. And see, we don't want to set atmosphere. We want to set an atmosphere of blessing for people. And always remember that. You want to set an atmosphere of blessing. You want God to be able to manifest in some way or another. You want God to show up on the scene. But we set atmospheres for that. By our conduct of how we act. Am I setting an atmosphere for God to move? You know, that's why you get into things where atmosphere, people get in, and you know, sometimes situations happen, there's problems or people crying and stuff like that. But some people get over and they're crying out of fears and anxiety and worries, and they don't realize they're setting an atmosphere of fear in the place. They're doing it. I've watched Christians do that. I've watched Christians go to funerals. You think their loved one, they talk about their loved one being in heaven, and they're acting like their loved one just died and went to hell the way they're crying and carrying on. They're crying out of sorrow they left. I mean, they're just out of anxiety and worry. What am I going to do? Poor old me. Well, you could trust God and shut up. You wouldn't act the way you do. You learn to trust God. What am I going to do? I've had Christians say, what am I going to do? Oh, well, God's dead too. You might as well kill yourself. Yeah? Just go ahead and kill yourself. God's dead. What do you mean? That's the time to believe God. That's the time. It's number one. And people need to understand that. People thinking like that are of no value to other people in trouble. You need to learn to control yourself so when others, for the sake of others, quit thinking of yourself. Don't think of yourself. When something happens for somebody else, can I be under control? Can I be under control? Can I be a blessing? Could you imagine what would you do if you had a problem out here and we called for an ambulance, two paramedics get out and they're running around screaming and crying. What's going on? Well, they might be so mad, but yet half the people are doing that. We Christians should be the strongest rock in time of trouble. In time in our nation, we should today be the strongest bunch of people in the nation. Not the big and whining and everything else that most Christians are doing. We should be the rock. We should be the rock in the nation. No matter what, God's going to take care of the church. Hallelujah. God will show up for the church. God's going to manifest Himself for the church. He'll do anything to help Ed. He'll do anything. And I tell you, He'll do anything to help the church. The church will get thinking right about it. No matter what they're doing. No matter what happened to Israel. When Israel called on God, God showed up. Israel would call on God. When they got in line and they started calling on God, God showed up. That was Israel. What would He do for the church? Surely He's going to show up for Ed when Ed calls. Surely He's going to call if you'll stop. You know? So I called on God and He don't just seem to be responding to me. He don't talk to me. Well, He don't talk to you. You said He don't, so you got what you said. So enjoy it. So He's talking to me. God will respond to me. God will show up for me. See, we need to come to that place. You know, this isn't part of where the patience comes in. You gotta be in that place. You gotta be in that place. We as a church have to be the rock. We got to be the rock in this day and age. We have to be. Everything is shaking and moving. It's prophesied in the Word. Everything that can be shaken in the last day will be. Well, let me ask, is it being shaken? See, everybody say, oh, teach me end times. Well, I want people to act right in the end times. That's what I want people to do. Everything's being shaken. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't shaken. And then because it's great. I just know what God said. I'm going to believe what God said. I don't care what. I don't care what they do in shaking things around. You know what? The best thing that could ever happen is the things in this nation that are ungodly are being shaken up. Including the church, the ungodly church, is being shaken. It's being shaken to its foundations. It's being shaken. You know what? It's good. I'm getting the living in the day that everything that's ungodly is going to get shaken. And the day will come when God's going to pull the carpet off the floor. He's going to shake the dirt out of it. And everything that don't belong there is going to be gone. Hallelujah. See, too many Christians, they're trying to hang on. They want to stay in the carpet with the dirt. And God bless us here in the dirt. No, God ain't going to bless us in the dirt. Hallelujah. He's shaking the carpet out, folks. It's getting shaken out and people don't like it. And they're turning around and most ministers are saying, this is all the devil. No, I'm going to tell you what. God's dealing with things. God's dealing with things. God's letting the devil have his way because people won't respond to God. He's going, okay, this is the way you chose. Adios. Have a good time at it. If you want me, you're going to have to come and call on me. You're going to have to come back. But you ain't going to stay out there in that and say, bless me over here, God. Help me over here, God. It ain't going to work. There's a difference in the operation of the move of God as it goes to the end times. Read the prophecies about the end times and God dealing with things. It isn't cotton candy. It's not a carnival. The end times, God's going to clean things up. He's going to have for Himself a church without spot or wrinkle. That's what He says He's going to do. Well, I'll tell you what, that He needs to clean the boy up sometime. He needs to work. But see, people are letting God work with him, but ones that are just out here, well, I'm a nice Christian, I'm just living good, I'm all right, that stuff. People want to find themselves further and further away from God. God said, if you seek me, you find me. He didn't say, if you accepted me one day as Savior, you'll just be all right till everything goes. No, it's a constantly seeking God. You find God when you constantly seek Him. Because how many of you are running into situations in your life, and boy, it don't look like God's around. You've got to seek God. It's a constant thing. It's a constantly going after God. You know, some of the hardest times it is to go after God is when everything's going good. That's where most people end up in trouble. They think they end up in trouble because things got bad. No, it isn't. Things went bad while everything was going good and you didn't notice. You didn't notice how far away you got from God, not seeking Him because everything seemed all right. But then as soon as a bad situation comes, it's like, oh my God, I'm way out here and He's way over there. Well, hold on, what's happening here? What's going wrong? That happened while things were going good. That didn't happen when things were going bad. That's why you constantly seek Him. You constantly search after Him. You do that all the time. When things are going good, seek God. Seek God when things are going good. And I tell you, I found this happen. I didn't have as many bad things happen to me because many times in those good times of seeking God, God showed me how to close the door on some stuff. And I didn't have to put up with it. And that's what you want to find out. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, I've said this before and I'll close with this. Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him this. If my people, speaking of the church, would pray 1 hour in other tongues a day, just 1 hour a day in other tongues, he said there's all kinds of things he said they would never face. Just pray in tongues 1 hour. I mean, just doing that. Just pray in other tongues. Do you know why he said that? Because you take the time to spend another hour. You know why he says spend an hour praying in other tongues? Because it probably take you about an hour to get yourself quiet your mind down where you can hear your spirit. See, praying in tongues is a spiritual exercise, not a mental exercise. It ain't for your mind. It's for your spirit. It's so your spirit can start to take some dominance. So you can hear what's on the inside. So you can hear what's on the inside. He said if they do it 1 hour a day, and I tell you what, people just hate to do that. People just hate to do that. I've said that from the pulpit how many times? I've said to do that. But see, if people don't do it, then they'll say, you know, I don't know, I ain't hearing from God. It's amazing what you'd come in contact with and what you'd come in if you'll do spiritual exercise. Most of ours is all mental. Even most of our, we call Bible reading and study, getting up in the morning, reading our devotionals, it's almost all mental. It's almost all mental. We got in the morning, we're so busy getting ready for work, and we just throw our nice little devotional in there and just have a quick time in there of a devotional so we can run out the door and get to work because our mind's on all that other stuff. It really don't do a lot for us. Look, I'm not trying to shoot anybody in the foot, but folks, there's things that we need to deal with. See, you can get over and get really religious and think, I'm really doing all kind of good things, but it's not doing anything good. See, the Word of God is for your inner man. If your inner man don't get time to hear it because you're just doing your noise quickly. Oh, I gotta, you know, I'm doing the read through the Bible in a year and I gotta get my chapters in. Just go burn the book and forget about it. If that's what it is, forget about it. It's worthless. Just information. If you don't have time to sit down and read it and enjoy it and listen to it, burn the book. It's of no value. Well, I read through the Bible and I did it. Look, I read through the Bible many times. Many times I read through the entire Bible. I will tell you where 90% of my revelations come from. Through meditating on some scriptures here and there, doing some stuff and things. Now, I ain't got nothing against reading through the Bible. It's good to read the Bible. But if you're going to learn and get revelation, you're going to have to take time for some meditation. You ain't going to get a whole lot of revelation reading through the Bible every year, but yet it's good. At least you become familiar with it, and the Holy Ghost might be able to talk to you someday about something in there. If I don't ever read it, there mostly ain't nothing for Him to talk to me about. The Holy Ghost can only talk to you on the level of the knowledge you have of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.